things. You make me feel everything. For the longest time, I never thought I would feel this way again. She trembles and her eyes flash with the same surrender that's inside me.
How do you feel?
I don't look away. I can't. I would hope it's patently obvious that I'm in love with you. But just in case, let me say it. I cup her cheeks. I'm in love with you. And I love you madly, Piper Radcliffe. A gorgeous smile takes over her face, bigger and wider than I've ever seen, more luminous than any other that's graced her lips.
I'm not going to say I had a feeling you were, but I had a feeling you were.
I laugh and tickle her hip, loving that she still finds ways to tease me and needle me. Her expression turns serious.
I'm wildly in love with you, Zack Nolan.
When you open your whole damaged heart, that's not so broken anymore. In fact, it's not broken at all, and it's definitely not made of iron or of ice. The only thing to do is kiss. We kiss for minutes, gorgeous, passionate minutes that threaten to spill into an endless night in bed together if I don't go. But the clock is ticking, and I need to leave. I need to figure out what to say to Henry and Lucy. I need to tell them the right way, because the last time I felt this way for someone, she left our lives far too soon. My natural instinct is to protect them ruthlessly, like a shark, like a tiger, like a papa bear from any other hurt. Oh, if I could only protect them from hurt for the rest of their lives, I'd do it in a heartbeat. But I'll never be able to, so all I can do is make sure I'm not the one inflicting the wounds. I get dressed. I'll get things sorted out, Piper. We'll figure it out soon. I can't wait much longer, I promise. Sitting, she runs a hand down my arm.
I know. I'm not worried. I'm not worried about a damned thing.
Chapter 32. That's the truth. I'm not worried. I was, before, in the bridal shop, when I thought about my mom. But now, alone with my thoughts, they don't scare me anymore. Dressed in a t-shirt and yoga pants, I pour myself a glass of water, replaying the night, trying to figure out what changed. As I down a thirsty gulp, I'm struck with a thought. An amazing, beautiful thought. One that surprises me, but delights me too. There was no earth-shattering change. No aha spotlight from above. Just acceptance. And mine is this. I'm not my mother, and I'm not her husband's. I believe great love comes around more than once in a lifetime, and you have to grab it, hold it, and treat it like the precious gift it is. For a while, I stressed that I might be the first of many for Zack, like my mom's half dozen were for her. I'm refusing to worry about that any longer. Not at all. Not one bit. Because tonight with him felt like a defiance of second best. We thumbed our noses against the idea that new love never compares. Second chances rock. And I'm loving mine and his. There are no guarantees, no promises. But I'm embracing this chance with him. And he's embracing it too. I refuse to compare him to my past, or myself to his. He loves me for me. With that thought, that wondrous thought, pressing against my mind, I decide to go to an evening spin class. I lace up my sneakers and head for the door. But first, my body reminds me that chocolate would be nice. I riffle around in the cupboards, unearth a dark chocolate bar, and break off a square. As I chew, it hits me. I always get these chocolate cravings when I'm about to get my period. I look at the calendar on my phone, counting back to my last one. It should arrive soon, maybe even tonight. Only, it doesn't.
Chapter 33. I inhale the sea salt air, drink in the tropical breeze, The sun beats down blissfully on my shoulders. Fine, I'll admit it. You were right. I gesture to the wide open waters, the calm, cool, placid Caribbean Ocean in all its aquamarine glory, the blue skies stretching as far as the eye can see. It's mildly pleasant here, I suppose. Charlie snorts, leaning back against the railing on the boat, catching rays too as we bob near the sandy shore of a small snorkeling island.
It's not pleasant, it's paradise. I might move here.
The hotel's snorkeling instructor guides the kids in the nearby waters. I'm snorkeled out after 3 hours logged already today.
Plus, the concrete jungle of Manhattan offers little opportunity to relax and soak up the rays. Suits do nothing for my vitamin D levels, so I'm doubling down now.
I'd like to say I avoid the sun like the plague, wearing big straw hats and swim shirts, but a man has to have some vices. The sun is my drug. I can't resist it, and I must have my fix. But Lucy made me wear sunscreen this morning. Lucy's vigilant with sunscreen. I'm confident Anna left that in a set of instructions for her daughter. It's a damn good rule, along with the others she passed on to Lucy. Eat your vegetables, but make room for ice cream. Always wear sunscreen, and don't forget to chase your dreams and tell the people you love that you love them. Pretty damn good advice. So it's SPF 50 slathered all over me. I turn to Charlie. Hey, are you guys still moving to London? Charlie shakes his head.
Nope. Jessica wants to be near family and her family's in New York.
I shoot him the side eye. Thanks, asshole, for letting me know. He arches a brow above his shades.
You could have asked me sooner. Also, isn't that what I just did? Like right now, I let you know.
I smile inside. I am immensely happy. Life is insanely good. Charlie will stay in the city, my kids are fantastic, and Piper is one of the most awesome things to ever happen to me. Who expected that twist in the story? But there it is, her and me, and soon we'll be able to come out. I wish we were able to be open about it here, to walk around this island exploring it together. I flash back over the last few days here as the group of us trekked through limestone caves and swam with turtles, tagging them for a conservation group and giving Lucy another item to check off her list. What would that have been like if we weren't on the down low? A hand held here, a touch there, a kiss on the cheek now and then. I picture Piper as she made her way through the caves yesterday, chipper and cheery as always. Too cheery? Maybe it's wedding planner stress. Everyone else is enjoying the tropical escape, and she's likely mired in worries like, what if the centerpieces don't arrive on time, or will the cake melt in the sun? But then, she's never given off the worrying vibe. She's the consummate pro, pulling off her job like an unshakable quarterback in the huddle. As soon as that thought touches down, something stirs in me. I'm not always the most sensitive guy. But over the years, I've become more astute at reading women. Sometimes when they're too bright and shiny, it means something has gone dark inside. Something is nagging at them. I make a note to find her later at the rehearsal dinner and ask how she's doing, discover if something truly is wrong. For now, I return my focus to the groom. I couldn't be happier that you're staying in New York, I tell Charlie. Because there's something that feels remarkably good about letting the people in your life know that you want them in your life. Especially this guy. He's pushed and prodded me and done everything he can to help me be happy again. Even if I never went out with whoever he tried to set me up with, knowing that he gave more than a couple flying fucks matters deeply. And in case I haven't said it, I do appreciate all the ways that you have given me a hard time for the last few years. You might not realize it, but it's made a difference. He arches a brow.
Something you want to tell me?
I laugh. I'm just saying thanks, that's all.
And you're welcome, he leans a little closer. Also, not to further spoil my own news, but I'm going to ask you to be godfather to my kid. Don't let on to Jessica. She's a vault when she has to be, and she rides me for not being one, so keep this on the down low. I'm not actually supposed to tell you we want you to be the godfather until she's 8 months pregnant, not 2.5 months, but... But you're shit at keeping secrets? He shrugs helplessly, his eyes crinkling at the corners. You know me so well. Thank you. I'd be honored. And I know I've said it before, but congrats again on joining the 6 a.m. club. But I'm going to enjoy the next several months of not waking up early. A spray of water lands on my chest, my face, my arms. I turn to see my two favorite people climbing up the ladder and onto the boat, splashing me as they go. I'm ready to jump in and splash back when Henry shouts, Daddy, I saw a huge shark! I stand at attention, scanning the seas instantly. Where? Is everyone okay? Henry laughs, his hand on his little belly. Lucy chimes in.
JK!
My heart rate has spiked to 1,000 miles a minute, and it doesn't calm down right away. Don't scare me! Lucy points at me, laughing.
You're the shark! You always say you're the shark!
Charlie glances at me, chuckling.
They got your goat.
She sure did. I haul my girl in for a hug, then hand her a towel. Grabbing another one, I dry Henry's hair a little bit, and soon we motor to the hotel's beach, then head inside the resort. We retreat to our rooms to get ready for an early rehearsal dinner. Once she's showered and dressed in a peach sundress, Lucy informs me she needs a purse tonight. I don't think she's used a purse before, but she's 10, so maybe now is when girls start. Did you bring one, or do you need to make a quick trip to the hotel's sundry shop? She rolls her eyes.
Of course I brought one, Dad. I need someplace for my stuff.
She darts into her adjoining room and returns a minute later with a tiny light blue purse slung across her chest. It looks empty, but far be it from me to question the ways of women and accessories. She grabs Henry's hand, declaring she's ready to tackle youngest bridesmaid duties at dinner. At the restaurant, Jessica asks Lucy if she can sit next to Charlie's 5-year-old niece. Lucy says yes and proceeds to grab the crayons and help blonde-haired Becca draw on the paper tablecloth throughout dinner. They illustrate an entire barnyard full of animals, while I keep hunting for a chance to check in on Piper, who's busier than St. Peter on a bad day. When dinner is through and guests mill about dancing to island music and waiting patiently for dessert, Lucy pulls me aside to a corner of the restaurant's wide-open deck. The look in her blue eyes is resolute.
Remember my summer list?
I bend lower so we're at the same level. How could I forget?
I've done almost everything on it.
London, Sundays, snorkeling, turtles, mini-golf, and being a night owl. Check, 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 check. She offers the start of a smile.
But there was something on it I wasn't sure if I was ready for.
I remember. Share something that's hard to share. She takes a breath.
I think I'm ready.
Bring it on.
You know how I've been studying all sorts of letters?
Sure.
I like to look letters up online, and I want to tell you why I've been studying them.
She says, lifting her chin like she's hunting for her own confidence.
I've been doing it because... Have you ever heard of those you may want to marry my husband letters?
Furrowing my brow, I try to process where she might be going. I'm only vaguely familiar with the concept from the New York Times essay section. A little bit. Tell me more. She takes a deep breath as if she's steeling herself.
There was an article a couple years ago. One of my friends' moms mentioned it then. This woman who was really sick wrote a letter, and it was published in the newspaper, and it said, "You may want to marry my husband."
Every muscle in me tenses. A couple years ago, before Anna died. Is this the letter Lucy's been holding on to? Her words from the start of the summer echo sharply in my mind. It's just a letter. I'll share with you soon, when it's right. I've had one for a while that I want to show you. A strange and thoroughly unexpected dose of fear runs through me. I don't know that I can handle it if Anna gave one to Lucy for some reason, maybe for safekeeping until she thought I was ready, because I don't want to face a ghost. I said goodbye to the ghost. I've grieved for the ghost and I've let her go.
I swallow past the Sahara Desert in my throat. I know what you mean. She sighs heavily, relieved.
Oh, good. That makes things easier. I was waiting for...
Jessica pops over, pointing to Lucy.
There you are.
A second later, a blonde Tasmanian devil nearly tackles Lucy, grabbing her hand and shouting in glee.
Ice cream time.
Ice cream, the universal trump card. Lucy tells me we'll talk later, then darts off with Jessica, Henry, and Becca to the ice cream table. Later. We'll finish talking about this letter later. A letter that has churned up the sand on the seafloor. But I have to let it go for now, because I see the wedding planner marching the other way toward the hall. She glances back briefly, and I detect that look again, that too bright look in her eyes. She's never like this. Something is off. I dismiss thoughts of letters I maybe don't want to read. This is my present. This is what I need to read. This woman. She leaves the restaurant, and I follow her.
Chapter 34. This is not okay. I don't do this. I don't escape to the bathroom. But I'm a spring, bubbling up, overflowing with emotion, and I won't let on in front of the bride. I rush into a stall and close the door. When I'm done, I exit and exhale a wobbly breath. I wash my hands, scrubbing them, then splash cold water on my face. I take another breath, another yoga mantra I pluck from thin air since I'm no yogini. I press my hands against the sink, needing support, needing balance. Maybe I should do a freaking tree pose. Better yet, I'll be a flamingo. Still, I'm shaking. Do flamingos shake? I close my eyes, trying to find my center. Or is it a chakra?
Are you okay?
The voice carries across the small restroom. I snap open my eyes, stare at my reflection and his, and finally, breathe again. I meet Zach's gaze in the glass. Concern is written across his forehead. I point to the door. Can you lock it? Of course. He does as I ask, then walks over to me at the sink, clasping my shoulders fiercely, spinning me around. His lips are a ruler. His jaw is set. What's going on, Piper? Are you okay? I purse my lips, nodding. I just got my period. He smiles faintly, a question mark in his grin.
That's a good thing.
I nod, relief flooding my veins. But I didn't get it on time. I'm 3 days late. I was supposed to get it in New York. It showed up a few minutes ago and I'd been freaking out. And I was so scared that I couldn't even handle the idea of taking a pregnancy test in case it was positive. I didn't know what I'd do. And I'd finally pep-talked myself into buying one tonight if I didn't get it. But I did. And I'm so relieved. I draw a deep breath, desperately needing air as the worries, the what-ifs, the what-does-this-mean all spill free in a tumble of words. My voice is two sizes too small, and I sound like a 20-something, but I need to talk. For the last few days, all I could think about is what if I'm pregnant? I know we were safe, but things happen. He nods, running his hand down my arm as if patiently waiting for me to talk more. And I do talk. It's all I do because it's all I've not done the last few days. The whole time, I kept thinking, what if I am? What happens? I don't even know if I want to be a parent, but what happens? We haven't told your kids, and I feel like I'm breaking their trust. What if they saw us together? What if we were... I flap my hands. Caught by them. That's so wrong. I'm breaking Lucy's trust. She's a friend, and she trusts me, and I can't pretend I don't have feelings for you. There's so much at stake. And what if we had done something so stupid? A fresh round of tears stops the words. He steps closer, strokes my hair, and wraps his arms around me. His voice is low, but strong. So strong.
We would have figured it out.
I raise my face. But how? How would we have figured it out?
I don't know. But I assume we'd have talked about it. We'd have sat down like adults. Because here's the thing. I love you. His tone is so fierce, so protective, like he's holding me up with it. I can see why his clients need only him. He's a warrior, a shield, the one you want guarding your blind side. Because, know this, his gaze never leaves mine. Whatever happens to you, it happens to me now, okay? I nod, my shoulders relaxing a tiny bit. I'm in this with you. We're in this together. We'll figure it all out together. I don't do things halfway, Piper. I don't love halfway. I don't care halfway. I'm all in. I love you completely. And I want to take care of you completely. My heart. My God, I don't think there's room in my chest for it. It's overgrown its home. It needs a new house, one where light floods in because all the doors are open. I wrap my arms around his waist, accepting his love, his need to care. It floods me, flowing through every cell, like liquid gold filling me up. I want that. But do you want to have more kids? He stops himself, laughing. I don't know why I said it like that, more kids. He drags a hand through his hair, brow furrowing. But I guess sometimes I feel like... He doesn't finish, but I know what he's trying to say. Like his kids are mine. I understand. Sometimes you feel like... I trail off too because I don't want to be so presumptuous as to voice it. But we both feel it. He points to the door. There's no more waiting for the right moment. I'm going to tell Lucy tonight. Because, let's be frank, Henry's pretty chill about everything. I laugh. He is pretty chill. But Lucy loves you. And I have to be honest, we can't wait for the next thing to happen. God forbid, what if something happens to you and Lucy wants to know why I'm sad that you broke a nail? I shoot him a quizzical look. Please tell me you're not going to be upset if I break a nail. He cups my cheek, strokes my jaw, and presses a soft kiss to my forehead, whispering, "You know what I'm saying." I do. It's not your nail I'm worried about. I press a hand to his heart. I don't worry about your nails either. But I'm just so relieved, Zach. I need him to know where I stand. I'm relieved because I'm not ready. I'm relieved because I don't know that I'm ever going to be ready. And I don't even know if you want more kids. Do you want more kids? A grin tugs at his lips. I'm open to whatever happens with you. A lump forms in my throat, pushing its way higher. You are? His small grin transforms into a huge smile. Whatever happens, I'm down with it. I'm a lucky man, Piper. I have two healthy, amazing children. I have great memories that aren't shackling me or stopping me from moving forward. And I have you, an incredible woman in front of me, who I adore and want to keep adoring and loving for as long as you'll let me. I scoff. Let you. Let you? That's what I want to. That's my point. He gestures from me to him. Don't you see? In a lot of ways, I have more than I ever expected. If you told me that you wanted to have a kid, I'd say, let's go for it. If you told me you don't ever want to, I'm cool with that too. Honestly, the only thing I don't want is for you to be 60 and tell me you're pregnant. I laugh deeply. I feel like that's probably not going to happen. Good, because when you're 60, we should be in Tuscany. Or here, snorkeling. Or just having a drink in Manhattan, looking back on the past 25 years. And laughing. He cups my face. The thing I want most is for you to be 60 and still be with me. There's nothing more I can say to that. Tears fall, and he kisses one cheek, then the other, then my lips. And it's the softest, most loving kiss I've ever felt in my life. I feel it in my mind, in my soul. When he breaks it, he smiles widely, You taste salty and sweet. Isn't that kind of how I am? He runs a thumb over my bottom lip. That's exactly how you are. I rise on tiptoe and brush my lips against his, whispering, You're gonna be so hot at 62. Same to you, at 60. He drops his hand, threads it through mine, and tips his forehead toward the door. Let me go wrangle the youngest bridesmaid away from the dessert table for a minute. When we leave the restroom, the youngest bridesmaid is waiting for us, clutching her purse and a pale blue envelope.
Chapter 35. Nerves crawl up my skin. I can't do this now. If that's what I think this is, I won't do it now. Lucy, I say, a gentle warning. She stares at me fiercely, her voice filled with fire.
Dad.
Holy shit. She's my daughter through and through. She gestures to a rattan couch in the open-air hallway, pointing to the tropical-themed pillows on it.
I want to share this. Now is the right time.
I try again, because negotiation is not a one-and-done thing. It's late. You can show me in the room. She shakes her head.
It's for both of you.
Piper's brow knits, but she says nothing. Lucy, some things are private, I say. Besides, I'd like to talk to you first. The hallway is quiet, and she hops on the couch.
We can talk here.
She's so damn determined. I sit next to her, and Piper takes the other side. Lucy serves first, beating me like a horse out of the gate. She thrusts the letter out, but not to me. To Piper. The woman I love takes it, asking me with her eyes if she should wait. I turn to Lucy, clasping her shoulder. She's the kid. I'm the parent. There is a right order to the universe. Lucy, you seem pretty determined, but so am I. I need you to know that I'm in love with Piper and we want to be together. All the stars in the universe twinkle in her eyes.
Read it,
she tells Piper, and I brace myself. Have you ever read one of those you may want to marry my husband letters? Scrubbing a hand across my jaw, I take a deep, fueling breath, waiting for Piper to read those words. Words Anna wrote? Words Anna left with Lucy for the next person? Piper opens the envelope, unfolds a letter, and parts her lips, reading.
You may want to marry my father.
I blink, snap my gaze to my daughter. Her grin stretches to the edge of the galaxy. Piper continues.
I've been working on this letter for a while, because there's so much to say. I could write a book. He deserves a book. But let me start with the basics.
The letter isn't from beyond. It's from here. This is what she's been wanting to share all along. Her very own letter. I listen, waiting for more.
My dad is awesome, but don't just take my word for it. Let me share my list. 1, he makes amazing waffles with strawberries and whipped cream. They are so delicious. I know what you're thinking, that's no big deal, but they are a big deal. They're so good, and the best part is he reads to us after he makes us waffles on weekend mornings. He reads Goosebumps to me and Clifford the Big Red Dog to my brother, and I love to read too, so I'm reading Harry Potter to Henry because I'm awesome at reading. Girl power. 2, also speaking of girl power, my dad is great with girls, like me. He let me polish his toenails a candy pink when I was 6, and he let my friend Hannah and me put wigs on him at the party store last year. And he can braid my hair. My mom liked him a lot. Ha, it was way more than like. She loved him because he's so cool. 3, he's good with boys too. You should see him take care of my little brother. Henry is adorable and so chatty, and sometimes he's like a little koala. But my dad lets Henry cling to him when he needs to, and he always gives him good morning hugs and kisses and hellos. That's another thing. 4, I see him every day. I see him in the morning and at night and after school, He takes me to gymnastics and to art, and he goes to all my parent-teacher conferences, even the ones with Miss Jody, who smells like onions and talks about the Revolutionary War without mentioning Hamilton, which is a super boring way to discuss the war. 5. Plus, he listens when I talk. I like to talk to him about things that scare me and things I hope will happen or worry will happen, and all my dreams for what I want to do someday. He doesn't push either. He wants me to tell him when I want to and how I want to. He respects my boundaries. He taught me that word. He teaches me lots of words, and then I get to use them in letters like this, so that's 6. And this is 7. He teaches me lots of things, like how important it is to tell people you love that you love them. He probably thinks that came from my mom, and yes, she told me to do that too. But he also says it, and he always tells me he loves me, and I don't forget it. I can't. His love is as big as the ocean, as deep as a canyon, as wide as the sky. 8. He also gives great hugs. That's why you may want to marry my father, but you better love him as much as I do. Yours truly, his daughter, Lucy.
Lucy bounces, a bundle of energy, of anticipation. In her eyes, I can see a 4-letter word. Hope. I'm not sure I can speak without breaking. Instead, I lean on the last few lines. I reach for my girl, scoop her up, and hold her tight. Closing my eyes, I inhale her sweet daughter smell, and I let the emotions flood my soul like a tsunami crashing over me. I love you so much. She nuzzles closer.
I love you too, but this isn't about you and me.
I chuckle through the lump in my throat, swallowing it back down as I open my eyes. It's not. Lucy shakes her head.
It's about Piper. Well, I didn't know it at the time. I wrote it a year ago, and I've been waiting to share it. It seems like the right time.
I look to Piper. Her eyes are wet, rimmed with tears. The woman who was once my enemy, who seemed my opposite, who's become not only my lover, but my love, gazes at us with so much more than I ever expected I'd have again. She's awesome, I say softly, tenderly.
I know, Lucy declares. You should marry her.
She jerks her gaze to Piper.
And you should marry my dad.
I probably should, I say, answering first, because that's not only the right order of the universe, it's also the truth. How could it be anything but? I told Piper I want to be with her when I'm 60, and I don't mean as my booty call or a plus one. I want all of her for all of me. I reach for Piper's hand. What do you think, Piper? Her grin is nearly as big as Lucy's.
You probably should, but let's get the other couple down the aisle first.
Lucy clambers off my lap, drapes one arm around me and one around Piper, and sighs happily.
I wanted to share something hard, but it wasn't that hard. It was just right.
Just right. That sounds exactly like what my life has become.
Chapter 36. The fiery orange sunset splatters itself across the horizon, painting the sky in brushstrokes of burnished gold and splashy fuchsia. A white runner lines the sand on the way to the ocean, and 22 chairs are placed evenly on each side, with coral hibiscus bouquets arranged artfully on the top of each seat. It's simple, but elegant. Pretty, but not showy. Just like the bride. Who's indeed radiant as I wait with her on the edge of the sugar-soft crystals of sand. The music is soft. Only a solo violinist plays as Lucy takes the first steps down the aisle in a pale yellow sundress. She reminds me of me at that age. But she also doesn't remind me of me, because I know she won't become a perma member of a parent's wedding party. Her father isn't the multi-marrying type. How can I be sure? Some things you just know. I squeeze Jessica's hand. Then I take my turn, walking down the aisle as both the wedding planner and the maid of honor.
I flash back to one of the first times I played double duty in the bridal party and behind the scenes for Sasha's wedding. That was the night I ran into Zach at the bar more than a decade ago when he placed a bet on the marriage. The wager ticked me off then, but it gives me an idea now. I tuck that bet into my bouquet and walk toward the groom and the best man. Damn, the best man looks good in shorts and a white linen shirt. I shoot him a small secret grin when I reach the end of the runner, taking my spot across from him. He smiles back at me, and when our gazes lock briefly, I feel sparks and desire, love and hope. All in one person. All in one look. Yes, I do love weddings, something fierce. They bring out all the emotions, the good ones. The music shifts, and all eyes turn to the bride heading down the aisle as the sun gently glides behind the sea. Charlie's eyes brighten, shining with happiness. That's the way a man should look at the woman he's promising his forever to. The joy in Jessica's eyes is everything a groom could ever want. As they pledge to love each other for the rest of their lives, Zach lifts a brow at me, sneaking a peek. It's enough to send shivers down my spine. Shivers of happiness, of the start of our own happily ever after. That's another thing I just know. I zoom in on the bride, because if I keep staring at the best man like I want to eat him up, everyone at the whole damn wedding will know we're a thing. Not just his kids. And let's be honest, the over-under on them spilling the beans soon isn't in our favor. Henry was indeed chill about us being a couple when we told him last night. He said, "Cool." Then he asked if I could read Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban because his sister had started the series, but he preferred my version of an English accent. And I read him the first chapter in my best posh tone. He promptly fell asleep. I don't know if that meant I flubbed it or he was zonked. I left their suite, kissing Zach chastely on the cheek. Maybe tonight there will be an unchaste kiss. A woman can dream. Zach doesn't need to clear his throat or tap a champagne glass. His voice is that commanding. His presence is, too, when he stands for the toast. "Anyone want to hear all of Charlie's dirtiest secrets from college? Wait, scratch that. How about his investment tips and insider insight into the hottest new companies to make you a gazillion bucks?" The attendees laugh and cheer their yeses. Zach strides in front of the head table. "Yeah, me too. Charlie, time to share. Serve it up, man." Charlie laughs, and Zach claps his friend's shoulder. "But seriously, though, this man has already shared so much. Let's give a big round of thanks to the man and woman who flew us to this gorgeous island, put us up, and entertained us, both in the Caribbean and in London." Everyone claps, and Charlie and Jessica bow their heads. "We are the lucky ones because you're all here," Charlie says. Zach lifts his glass. "We are all indeed the lucky ones, to be surrounded by friends and family. Let's raise a glass to that, to being here, to love, to finding that special someone." His eyes meet mine, and he holds my gaze as he takes a drink. A little later, as the kids boogie and the newlywed couple dances at the reception, with waves gently lapping the shore mere feet away, I make my way to the best man at the bar, ordering a scotch. I opt for wine, then tip my forehead toward the couple. "What's the over-under?" He laughs, dragging a hand through his hair. He takes a deep breath and stares at Jessica and Charlie, studying them from a distance. "Judging from the way he looks at her like she's the center of his world, and how she smiles at him like he's the key to her happiness, I'd say it's a can't-lose bet. Also, have I mentioned they only have eyes for each other?" I tap my chin as if in thought. "Why, yes, you did say that." "It's a good sign," he adds, deadpan. "Are you trying to tell me something?" He inches closer. "Woman, when it comes to betting on me, you better be all in because that's where I am." I laugh so hard I nearly snort. "Good! Because I never want to use your professional services." He wiggles his eyebrows. "You can use my other ones." "And what are those?" His answer comes in a smoky whisper. The ones where I make you come over and over? Tingles spread over my arms. You are cocky. Just confident. It's been a while, though. At least a few days, I tease. Are you sure you can still get me there? Is that a challenge? What else would it be? But before he can flirt back, Charlie and Jessica swing by. The bride shoots us an overly exhausted look. Are you guys finally going to come out of the closet? What do you mean? I scoff, trying to play it cool. Charlie pats Zach's back. Don't play coy. It's about time. I've been suspecting you two for months. We both have, Jessica adds. My jaw drops, but I say nothing. Jessica points at me. That's cute that you act surprised. I still can't speak. It's so obvious. Shuffleboard? She sketches air quotes. Secret wedding stuff? I mean, it's admirable and smart, and I get it. But we aren't fooled. I wanted to focus on you, I say, trying to regain my footing. She squeezes my arm. And I love you for it. But really, I'm all good. And you two should go get a room. I protest with, it's your reception. Jessica casts a glance at the dance floor. And my wedding planner and good friend handled it so well that everything is going perfectly. We'll watch your kids for half an hour. Go. Seriously? The pheromones radiating off you guys are too much to take, Charlie says dryly. Also, we need more than 30 minutes, Zach adds. Charlie laughs. Doubtful. But you don't look a gift horse in the mouth. When we're alone, I remind him, you do know I have a visitor. That means it's time for that mandatory rain check. His smile is devilish. Like I said, life is insanely good. And it is for me, too. When I'm on my knees in my room a few minutes later, taking him in my mouth and bringing him to the brink of ecstasy. His sounds thrill me. His hands in my hair turn me on too much. Most of all, the way he groans my name when he gives in to all the pleasure feels like one more promise between us. A promise of intimacy, of love, of openness. When I look up at him, his blue eyes are hazy and so damn happy. And you're getting a rain check too. I can't wait to return the favor. Yeah, we love each other. A whole hell of a lot, it seems. So much for frenemies. Chapter 37. A few days after we return to Manhattan, I meet one of my favorite men outside the Lucky Spot in Chelsea. He's gorgeous, friendly, and funny, and I've had him in my life for quite some time. I'm glad I convinced Adrian to meet me here for a drink tonight. After he strides up to me, he kisses me on each cheek. I told you so, he declares. I gesture to the bar. You sure did tell me so. Why do you have to be so wise? He shrugs, then winks. It comes with the territory. He opens the door and holds it for me. The territory of being a hair maestro? He laughs as we head inside and grab two stools at the bar. Is that what I am now? A hair maestro? You are the god of all updos, the master of locks, the magician of beauty. He snaps his fingers. I'm putting that on my new business cards. We order wine, and he turns to me, lifts a brow, and rubs his palms. Okay, hold nothing back. I want to know exactly how right I was about every little thing. I lean my head back, laughing. Is there anything better than a good I told you so? No, there isn't. Serve it up, love. The wine arrives, we toast, and I tell him about Anguilla. Sometimes you need a tropical location to set the truth free, he muses. Stylist logic? But of course. He raises his glass once again and takes a drink. And I'm not surprised you're so fabulously in love. I did know it would happen. He reaches into the pocket of his jeans and produces a lollipop. Sour apple. He sets it on the bar. I knew it was true love once you mentioned blow pops. I crack up, dropping my face into my hand. I cannot believe you brought a blow pop. And I definitely can't believe a blow pop story was the tip-off. It was patently obvious when you rambled about blow pops that he was the real thing. I look up, more serious now. He's definitely the real thing. Plus, you had this glow about you. I call it the love glow. And what does the love glow look like? He peers at me with narrowed eyes as if he's appraising me. Rosy cheeks, a woozy grin, and a certain dewy look in your eyes. I stare into his gray eyes. Speaking of, you look different. Are you love glowing and not telling me? He touches his own cheek and answers playfully. Do I look like I'm glowing? Tell me, tell me. Did you meet someone? He's coy as he answers. Maybe I did. I punch his arm. I thought you were into playing the field. We all are, till we meet that special someone. And you like this guy? He sighs dreamily, then tells me about Carlos and how his new beau is sexy and funny and devoted, it seems. There are never any guarantees, but I think he might be my second chance. I'll drink to that. A few minutes later, Zach heads into the bar, walking straight over to us. He wraps an arm around me and drops a possessive kiss to my lips, then extends a hand to Adrian, introducing himself. Soon, it's time for Malone's set. So we make our way to the lounge section, snagging chairs and sitting with Dina, Heather, Charlie, Jessica, Steven, and Jason and Sloan. Friends from college, friends from Manhattan. They all know. We're out in the open. And it's awesome. One glance around, and I'm grinning. A while ago, I didn't even invite Zach here. Now he's with me, arm draped around my shoulder, so clearly mine, and I'm so clearly his. The lights dim, and the music begins. He takes my hand, and when the set ends, he whispers in my ear, "Time for your rain check."
Chapter 38. One of the great things about not keeping a secret is, well, you don't have to keep a secret. That means I don't have to remember incredibly clever cover-ups like claiming I wandered down the halls in a hotel in the middle of the night. After the music fades at the lucky spot, I check in with my sister, who laughs and tells me never to check in again when she has the kids, since all is fabulous. Fair enough, I say, then the lift arrives and it takes us to Piper's home. Do I feel guilty about not being with the kids tonight? Hell no. I want this time with my woman. It makes me a happier person. And I am a very happy man when Piper unlocks the door to her apartment as I kiss the back of her neck, my hands roaming up and down her sides, her little murmurs and moans driving me on. She tries to swat me away, saying, "You're so voracious. Let me get us into the apartment." Yes, I am voracious, and I make no bones about that. She pushes open the door, and once it shuts behind us, I grab her hands and raise her arms above her head. I kiss her neck and travel up to her ear, nipping it as she murmurs the whole way. "You don't even want to make it to the bedroom?" Bedroom, couch, counter. I'm good with any and all of it. She hums as if she's thinking. I stop the kisses, tapping her temple. "What's going on up there?"
"I was just thinking that we never truly had angry sex."
I raise a brow. "Is that something you want?"
"Supposedly, it's really hot if you hate each other and then screw."
I laugh. "Happy to role play. You want to go back to how we were?" She adopts a more serious expression, narrowing her eyes as if she's firing bullets at me.
"And is that what you think is going to get me into bed?"
I dive right into the routine. "You know you've been wanting me. I see how you stare at me at the office." She scoffs as she walks down the hall.
"I've never even given a thought to the way you look naked."
"And yet your body says otherwise." She stops in the bedroom doorway, glancing back.
"And what do you think my body is saying to you?"
My gaze travels up and down her sexy frame. That you want me to strip off all your clothes and fuck you hard and senseless. She trembles as if on cue, but it's not acting. It's real. Taking a step closer, I grab her hair and kiss her neck hard. She shivers. I slide my hand down her body, between her legs. And if I touch you right here, would I find out that you hate me or that you want me? With a shuddering breath, she answers, Want, need, love. The game is over. The roles shed. We're us again, wanting and needing, and giving. In several seconds, she's flat on her back on the bed, clothes off. I pepper kisses down her belly, then back up, lavishing attention on her breasts. She pants and moans and gets me so damn turned on that I can't wait much longer. I spread her legs and my face is between her thighs. She tastes like heaven, and I don't know who's more aroused, her or me. This is where I want to be, consuming her, driving her wild, giving her all the pleasure she deserves till she's crying out in a glorious soundtrack of bliss. As her noises ebb, I move to my back, grab her hips, and guide her onto me. She sinks down, gasping as she takes me in. Pleasure jolts through my body, and I slide a hand up her stomach, savoring the soft feel of her skin. Want to watch you. Want to watch you chase your pleasure again. If you insist, I absolutely do, I say, thrusting up into her. As her eyes squeeze shut, she lowers herself to my chest. She brings her mouth to my ear. Fuck me and love me, she whispers, and I've never been more turned on. Threading my hands in her hair, I pull tighter, harder. I bring her over the edge again, joining her on the other side of bliss. Once she comes down, I stroke her hair. Do me a favor, will you?
Maybe. Depends what it is, she teases.
Remember our bet at the wedding last week?
Of course.
Don't bet against us. A smile is my reward, as she says.
Never will I ever bet against us.
The next morning, after we shower, I get dressed, then ask what she's up to today.
I'm heading to the park to meet my sister and the baby.
It seems so obvious. Why didn't I think of it sooner? Do you want to go together? She smiles, soft and pretty.
Together?
I roll my eyes. Woman, we're together. You're going to see your sister's baby. I can meet my kids there. Let's go together. Let's be together. The smile that spreads across her face is magnificent.
That sounds lovely.
At the park, she holds the baby and chats with her sister as Lucy clambers up and down the climbing wall and Henry shows off all his new slide maneuvers. When Lucy scampers down for the 500th time, she bolts over to Piper and Paige.
Is it my turn?
Paige hands her the baby, and Lucy coos and sings to her. I observe them from a few feet away as Paige turns to Lucy.
Did we ever tell you our theory about the princesses?
I want to hear,
Lucy says. So do I. Piper laughs.
Here is what we think about the Little Mermaid.
After she shares her theory, Lucy nods thoughtfully.
She should have written him a letter. Letters can solve a lot of problems.
Yes, they can. A few weeks later, the scent of waffles fills my apartment, and Lucy stands by my side, chopping the tops off fresh strawberries.
I decided it was time for me to start helping you. I want to learn to cook now. You're a pretty good cook, aren't you?
I pat her head and return to making the waffles. Lucy, I'm pretty awesome at everything. She leans her head against my arm for a moment.
You are. But I think you're really good at these waffles, and I'm really hungry.
Then let's finish them. After all, it will be Piper's first time having my extraordinary Sunday morning waffles. She's on her way.
And we want to make sure they're amazing so she keeps coming back.
We definitely want to make sure she keeps coming back. Piper arrives shortly for our family breakfast date. At the counter, she takes a forkful and moans in culinary pleasure.
You're right, Lucy. These are absolutely the best.
When we're done, Lucy stares at me with big, pleading eyes.
Can we please go shopping now, Daddy? I've been waiting so long.
Henry slumps onto the couch.
What am I supposed to do when you shop?
You're going to come along and be a most excellent companion, I tell him. Besides, I just like it when you hang out with me. Henry smiles.
I like that too.
He is indeed great company as I take the women on a very special shopping trip.
Epilogue. Once upon a time, there was a woman who wanted to go to Tuscany. But she wasn't willing to stow away in a bride's suitcase to reach her destination. For even though she was practical, she was first and foremost a romantic. Luckily, a guy she loved told her he was taking her there for her birthday. It's my birthday, and the plane that'll take my man and me to Italy taxis on the runway. Do you think the kids are okay? Zach laughs. They're fine. My sister knows how to take care of kids. I know, but it's their first time without you. Without us, he corrects. Summer has rolled into fall, so with the kids in school, this is a good time to get away. He runs a finger down my nose. Stop worrying. I'll do my best, but I promise nothing. So feisty. Same could be said of you. An hour later, we're zooming across the ocean at 35,000 feet as the lights dim and attendants treat us like royalty, having just served sundaes. Can you just do me a favor and always buy me first-class tickets? Okay, thanks, bye. Laughing, he takes my hand. I can promise you that, but I have to warn you, this might be your favorite flight of all. Why's that? He reaches into his pocket and takes out a velvet box. Never have I ever fallen in love with a woman on an airplane. But I did earlier this summer on the way to London. That's when I started to fall in love with you. My heart swells, thumping hard. Same for me, with you. Never have I ever thought the woman who called me a marriage grim reaper would fall in love with me. I lean closer, unable to resist him. I press a kiss to his lips. But I did, and I am. He flips open the box, and I'm nearly blinded by the ring's beauty, just as I was when I picked it out. Never have I ever hoped so badly for your yes. I cup his cheek. You have it. You've had it for months. The reality is this. I'm not surprised. We were pretty much promised to each other in Anguilla, both by each other and again by his daughter. I shopped for the ring with Lucy and Zach a few weeks ago. She helped me pick it out. He had it sized. The only thing I didn't know was when. And I couldn't be happier that when is right now. He slides the ring on my finger, and I whisper, "Once upon a time, a wedding planner thought she despised the divorce attorney. But somehow opposites attracted and enemies became lovers. And so much more." Sounds like a good story, I say. He kisses me. That's because it's true. Early the next year, we marry. When I say it's a simple ceremony, I mean it. We take our vows in the Raphael room at the Lux Hotel. Discount rate, thank you very much. And we dance all night with our closest friends and family. With Paige and Lisa and baby Catherine. With Charlie and Jessica and their infant son, Callum. With Zach's sister, Emmy, their mom, and my mom and her new boyfriend. Our friends from college are there. Adrian, my stylist and shrink, for all intents and purposes, is my bridesman. And naturally, he makes sure the rest of the ladies in the bridal party look fabulous. And I remind him how fabulous he's going to look at his ceremony in a few months when he marries Carlos. I'm planning that one, and I can't wait. The grooms are both gorgeous. My friend Jason attends, snagging a minute to whisper a secret about how his best man for hire business is changing. And I ooh and ah and promise not to say a word till the time is right. My good friend Kristen is here from Florida with her husband Cameron. Mini golf soon, girl? You owe me a game, she says, hugging me. Always mini golf. I'll beat you, though.
I know, you always do.
Sloane is here, too. Her belly huge since she's ready to pop any day. Her hubby dotes on her the whole time. And Malone even sings a song for our first dance. It had to be you. After we dance, Charlie taps a champagne glass and returns the favor Zach did him in Anguilla, making a speech with just enough roasting and ribbing. I'm not as eloquent as this guy, so I'll keep it simple and say this. I saw them coming together from 50 miles away, and I couldn't be happier to be making this toast. We all raise our champagne glasses, the kids' cups filled with ginger ale, of course. That's the best part, that they're here celebrating with us. Our kids. Yes, they feel like mine. And they are mine. They wanted me to adopt them, so we filed the paperwork. But we don't need paperwork. We were already a family. And I have faith we always will be.
Another epilogue. Maybe you should believe what you hear about me. I can be a pretty good guy. A great guy, even. But I don't always let on, because sometimes you need a shark on your side. I can play that role, and I still do. I play it for all my clients. I take on the part for my kids when they need me to. Every now and then I do that job for my wife, though she rarely needs any backup. But if she does, I'm not afraid to go to battle for her. Because I have a heart, only it's not made of iron or ice. It's forged from fire, and it's sharpened by love. Even though I might dismantle marriages for a living, I do it so those in the bad ones can have another chance. There's nothing better than a second chance when it comes to love. I found mine, and I'm not letting it go. Never will I ever. The end.
If you enjoyed this audiobook and want to hear Sloane and Malone's love story, check out Satisfaction Guaranteed, narrated by Jason Clark and Andy Arndt, and available everywhere. Piper's friend Jason's love story will be told in Instant Gratification, available soon, and narrated by a full cast.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.